Well, if you would, please take your Bibles and turn right along with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The God we serve is an incomparably generous God. He's a God who gives and gives and gives. He gives us life and breath and all things. He gives us food to eat and clothes to wear, a place to live, the sun on our faces and respite from the sun at night. He provides for our needs. He gives us all that we need. And of course, God the giver has given us the greatest gift of all, our salvation, through the costliest gift of all, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, given out of love for us, given while we were still sinners, given so that Jesus might take our place, that he might die, and that we might have life through faith in him. What generosity there is in our God. What a gracious giver he is. Always giving. Giving and giving. The psalmist says that God gives to us even in our sleep. Psalm 127, verse 2. Even when we're unaware of it, God is giving. Another area which we see God's great generosity is in this area of spiritual gifts, the subject that is before us in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. For God gives not only in saving us from something, his just wrath, but he also gives in saving us to something. He saves us to service, his service. We are saved unto service for the purpose of serving him, to serve the Lord. But God not only calls us unto service, he also fully equips us for that service. This too is his gracious, generous gift, to equip us fully for service to him. One of the gifts that God has given to us to equip us for service, of course, is the Bible itself. The Bible equips us and readies us for useful service to the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16, of course, says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Every good work of service we are equipped for through God's word, which equips us that we might be righteous and ready to serve. Another gift that God has given that equips us for service to him is what we find here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Spiritual gifts. As we saw clearly last week from verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says there in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. A spiritual gift, a gift of the Spirit, is given to each and every Christian. No one is left out. And these spiritual gifts given to each and every Christian are manifestations of the Spirit. So while we cannot see the Holy Spirit, we see his effects, like wind in the trees. We see the Spirit moving among us through these gifts. This is how the Spirit operates in the church, working through us, equipping us, gifting us. These gifts are given to us by the Spirit for the common good, for the local body of believers, the local church. They're given so that we might not serve ourselves. They're not given so that we can boost our egos or make a name for ourselves, but they are given so that we might serve. Sacrificially serving others, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this morning we're going to see these gifts a bit more closely, naming a few of them by name. And in seeing them more closely, we're going to see just how generous God has been in giving us these gifts of the Spirit. So look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 8, and I'll read through verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, Paul continues. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. This is the Word of God. And let's pray together. Our Lord God, today in the moments we have together, show us Your great generosity and produce in us a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude, a heart of appreciation for how You have fully equipped us. You've given us a mission to serve You, and You've equipped us fully for that mission with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God working within us, gifting us to accomplish this mission of service. Show us these things, Lord. Guide us into Your truth, we ask. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As we see these gifts together a little more closely, I want us to see together three qualities of spiritual gifts that show us God's great generosity. Three qualities of spiritual gifts that show us God's great generosity. The first quality that we'll see is that the gifts of the Spirit are themselves gifts of grace. Gifts of grace. We're going to be looking at each of these gifts more closely today, but I want us to back out first of all and say, what are these gifts? What are they at their essence? Paul is going to list here in these verses some of these various spiritual gifts that are given to the Christians. He says, to one is given this gift, to another is given another gift, and to another yet another gift, and so on. And God is presented as the giver of these gifts. The Spirit is shown to be the assigner of these gifts. As we saw last week, all members of the Trinity are involved in the giving and the operation of these spiritual gifts. It is not exclusively the prerogative of the Holy Spirit, but rather all members of the Trinity are involved. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries in the same Lord, a reference to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God, that reference most often refers to God the Father, who works all things in all persons. And so here we have the Spirit, the Son, and the Father, all part of the operation and the giving and the effecting of these gifts within the local body. So God is the one behind these gifts. But on what basis does He give these gifts out? How does God determine who it is that gets which gift? Is it something that God sees in us? Are there certain characteristics that he sees in us and then he responds? Is there something we can do to increase our chances that we'll get one gift or another gift? Or to avoid getting a certain gift? Well, the answer to these questions is found in the word that is used for these gifts. Look back with me now at verse 4. Paul says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of gifts. I want you to focus on that word, gifts. The first word that Paul uses to reference these spiritual gifts is the Greek word charismaton, from which we get our English word charisma or charismatic. The word in Greek refers to a generous and gracious gift. It isn't used exclusively for these spiritual gifts that we're talking about here in these chapters. It's used any time God graciously acts and gives us something, some great gift. It's a gift that is given freely, a gift that isn't earned or deserved in any way. This same word for gift is used in Romans 6:23, a very familiar passage, to refer to the gracious gift of our salvation. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, the charisma of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift, the charisma. There, the free gift, this gift, is salvation itself. Given to us by God, not earned or deserved. Same word. And so here in 1 Corinthians 12, these gifts are given from the free will of God. With the generous and gracious gift of salvation has also come the generous and gracious gift of the Spirit. And with the gracious and generous gift of the Spirit has come a gracious and generous enabling of the Spirit. A divine enabling given to each Christian for service within the church. So this gift, this charisma, is given to each and every Christian for service within the body. So in this sense, all of us are charismatics. Amen? Amen? We believe in the free gift of God, both of salvation, of the Spirit, and of these spiritual gifts given divinely by God, sovereignly chosen for us for the purpose of service within the body. We're all charismatics. Some of us more than others. And so we should be. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we're getting it. We believe he is active in our midst. We believe the Spirit of God indwells us and empowers us. We believe he has gifted each of us for service within the body. We believe in these spiritual gifts. And so there is a sense in which we are all charismatics. Charismatics with a small c. We all believe in these gracious gifts conferred on us by God through the Holy Spirit. These spiritual gifts, then, are grace gifts. They are given freely by God's grace, and not given according to what we deserve or what we could earn or what we have done in any way. And so the truth of this, that God has given these gifts freely of his own will for his own purposes, should humble us. should humble us and keep us from boasting about any of the gifts that we may have. And should humble us and keep us from complaining about any of the gifts that we don't have, but we wish we did. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "Who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" There was a lot of boasting going on in Corinth. And a lot of the boasting surrounded this issue of spiritual gifts. There were those who had more prominent gifts, more vocal gifts, more upfront gifts. And they would boast about these things, but they had no room to boast because God is the one who had sovereignly given them to them. And if they'd received it as a gift, unearned, undeserved, there's nothing to boast about except in the Lord, the giver of the gift. This was the real problem for the Corinthians. Boasting in their gifts, looking down on those who, in their minds, had lesser gifts. There's no place for this. Every gift of the Spirit is a grace gift, unearned, undeserved, sovereignly bestowed on us as it pleases the Lord to do. The gifts of the Spirit are grace gifts. Secondly, the gifts of the Spirit are diverse. They are diverse. Go back with me to verse 8. Speaking of these gifts of grace, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Paul here lists some of these grace gifts, but this is just a sampling. Paul intentionally mentions these gifts in particular because these were some of the gifts that were at the root of the problems being experienced by the Corinthian church. Those who had these gifts were not exercising these gifts in love and humility, but in selfishness and pride, bragging and boasting about their gifts, making their gifts something by which they promoted themselves instead of the Lord and denigrated others. Now, this is not the only place that spiritual gifts are listed. There are actually five passages of Scripture that list spiritual gifts, and I have them for you here. Maybe. There we go. I don't know if you can see them. Take my word for it. I'll try to upload those and connect them with the message this week so that you can see them a little more closely in case they're difficult to spot from where you are. Five passages that list spiritual gifts in the Scriptures. Now, what's interesting about these lists is that none of them match each other perfectly. They overlap some, but they do not match, even though most of them come from the same author, Paul. None of these lists, furthermore, are comprehensive, listing all of the gifts. So you have to survey all of the relevant passages on spiritual gifts to get a sense of the full range of the gifts, at least as they're listed in the Scriptures for us. Now that's important to keep in mind. Another thing that's important to keep in mind is that some of these gifts have significant overlap. Yes, they are distinct, but there is overlap between them. It's sometimes hard to tell where one gift ends and another gift begins. For instance, the gifts of word of wisdom and word of knowledge. For the way Paul uses the words wisdom and knowledge throughout the book of 1 Corinthians is very similar. So it isn't crystal clear that Paul's making a rock solid differentiation between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. There may well be some overlap between those two gifts while still maintaining some level of distinction. Same could be said for, say, the gifts of teaching and exhortation. Teaching often involves exhortation. Exhortation often involves some level of teaching. Where does one gift end and the other begin? It's a little difficult to tell at times. The point is this: I'm not sure that the gifts are quite as cut and dry as they appear when you place them on a grid like this. And you think of these lines as, you know, just absolutely separating each gift from the other, and they never touch, and they're totally isolated. And I'm not sure it quite functions exactly like that. It is helpful to see them on a table like this, but it can give the wrong impression that the gifts are completely distinct and without overlap. And I'm pretty sure that's not always the case. Finally, it may seem obvious, but it's worth stating that not every Christian is agreed upon the nature of each of these gifts. And in other words, what these gifts actually are, what they do, how they show themselves. Not all Christians are agreed on that. That's probably not a newsflash for you. Nor are all Christians agreed upon which of these gifts are in operation today. Which of these gifts can be normally seen within the church today? Not all Christians agree on that. Even the professors at the seminary that I attended, professors which in most respects are as like-minded as you can imagine, there is significant diversity in how they would answer some of these questions. In terms of the gifts, their operation, their continuation. So we need to have a word of caution here to proceed carefully and with great charity for those whose views may differ slightly from ours. We can broadly categorize these gifts, and we could do so in a variety of ways, but I think it's helpful to look at the broad purpose or function of these gifts. And so this table puts them in slightly a different way. Puts them under three headings of speaking gifts, serving gifts, and sign gifts. And again, depending on who you're talking to, they might place them in different categories than what I've done here. Talk to me on another day, and I might place them in slightly different categories than what I've done here. And some of that is the nature of the gifts themselves. As I said before, what role do they play? Sometimes that's easier to tell. Sometimes that's slightly more difficult. Speaking gifts involve proclaiming and explaining God's revealed truth. Serving gifts involve demonstrating Christian love in practical ways. While sign gifts involve special demonstrations of God's power, which serve to confirm the truth of the gospel message. Now, very quickly, I want to survey the gifts that Paul has listed here in verses 8, 9, and 10, and share with you, just in brief, what they are. We'll cover all the other gifts at another time. We will do that in the course of our studies of 12, 13, and 14. We're not going to go in depth here, and I'm not going to get into, at this point, whether or not these gifts are normative today, that whether or not they're in regular operation in the church today. I'm not going to cover that today. We'll look at that much more closely when we get to chapter 14. But as Paul writes this letter, all these gifts were normative. All these gifts were in full operation in the church. So the first gift that Paul mentions is a word of wisdom. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. And the best way I know how to define this is this. It's a divine enabling to speak of the mysteries of God now revealed in the gospel of the new covenant. It's not to be confused with the wisdom that every Christian needs and every Christian should seek and every Christian should pray for. This is a special divine enabling, a special gift of the Spirit to enable the recipient to speak of the mysteries of God revealed in the gospel of the new covenant, the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge, similar. It's a divine enabling to speak of the realities and implications of the gospel of the new covenant. So the word of wisdom is revealing those mysteries, those things that were before unknown but have now been revealed, and part of the way God revealed them was through the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge was an explanation of those mysteries, an explanation of those truths, and their practical implications, their practical import for the body of Christ. This too was likely a revelatory gift. Next, Paul mentions the gift of faith. This is the divine enabling to believe and trust God in the face of seemingly impossible situations. This isn't the normal standard faith that all Christians have. To be a Christian, you have to have faith, right? So all of us have faith in some measure. This is a special gift, a divine enabling to believe and trust God in the face of seemingly impossible situations. And it serves as an encouragement to the body, for faith begets faith. And encourages and challenges those who are wavering in their faith or unsure, or unsteady in their faith. It can help build the body in that way. Next, Paul mentions gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. A divine enabling to bring about instantaneous physical healing through spiritual power and without the use of traditional medical treatment. It's a miracle of healing. The person was blind, they're no longer blind. The person was lame, they could not walk, now they can walk. A divine enabling to bring about instantaneous physical healing through spiritual power and without the use of medical treatment. Next one is effecting of miracles. A divine enabling to do the miraculous. Like raising the dead. Pretty miraculous. Person is dead. Now they're no longer dead. They are alive. Examples in Scripture of this. The effecting of miracles. And it could be a miracle that's short of that as well. That's a pretty amazing miracle, raising the dead. It could be something lesser as well. Prophecy is the next one. Prophecy is the divine enabling to speak God's truth. And at certain times, it included predicting future events and the receiving and communication of further revelation from God. Prophecy. Next, Paul mentions distinguishing of spirits. Distinguishing of spirits. This is the divine enabling to be able to confirm that a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or a prophecy are indeed from the Lord. This is a confirmation, a sanity check, if you will. Is the word of wisdom, is the word of knowledge, is that prophecy just uttered, is it truly from the Lord, or is it from some other spirit? Distinguishing of spirits. Tongues. Paul mentions various kinds of tongues. This is a divine enabling to speak human languages never studied or acquired by the speaker. Suddenly, miraculously, you have complete capability in another language never studied. And then interpretation of tongues. A divine enabling to understand and translate a human language never studied or acquired by the hearer. Very similar to tongues, except this one is the listening, the receiving end of the gift of tongues, and that is in its interpretation. So there's a great diversity of these gifts. Diversity that manifests God's generosity, His creativity, His graciousness. We don't all get the same gift. We don't all get the same gift in the same amount. But there's great diversity among the gifts. And then finally, the gifts of the Spirit are customized, tailored for each Christian. Look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. I believe that there are no two Christians who are gifted in exactly the same way. You and another Christian may have the same broad categories of gifts, but you may have them in different degrees, with slightly different emphases. And then when those gifts are expressed through our differing personalities and our differing life experiences and the different contexts out of which we minister, the result is that each of us is completely a unique tool in the hand of the Lord, doing something, serving in a way that no one else can duplicate exactly. The Lord has fitted us for service in the context He has placed us. And He has fitted us perfectly for that context. We are providentially gifted for the providentially ordered circumstances of our life. There are no mistakes in God's providence. There are no mistakes. He has customized your gifts for the customized life He has ordained for you. It might be helpful to think of these gifts like colors on a color palette. All right? We can all identify the colors red, green, yellow, blue. You could go up to a preschooler, and they would be able to identify most of them. They would be able to identify red, green, yellow, and blue. But we all know that it's not quite that simple, that there are an endless variety of tones on the full spectrum of the color palette. Not all reds are exactly alike. I mean, just go to the paint store, right? And look at that massive wall of options, you know. I'd like white. Oh, no, you know. Oh, white. I mean, how many whites can there be? Seemingly an endless variety of whites. They all fall under the category of white, but they're all different. Different shades. Some give off a little more gray, some give off a little more blue. It's infuriating. Leanne and I were picking a gray one time at home for our house color. I had about 17 messes of paint on the wall, you know, where you just do a little patch and you do another little patch. And We could not find the right one, but they're all gray. So it is oftentimes for these gifts. We might share a gift of teaching, but that gift will look quite differently from one person to the next. This is part of God's plan. This is part of God's creativity. This is part of God's generosity to the church. A wealth of giftedness. A variety of giftedness deployed in service to the Lord for the glory of God and the sake of the gospel. Some of us may wish we had another gift. Our gray looks a little too blue for our liking, or a little too green for our taste. Why did you make me like this, Lord? Why did you gift me this way? Which reminds me of what Paul wrote in Romans 9, though his point was different. His illustration of the potter and the clay applies equally well here. The pot cannot say to the potter, "Why did you make me like this?" It's the potter's prerogative. It's the potter's wisdom. You're not the first pot he made. This isn't, you know, the first pot he's ever thrown on the wheel. He knows what he's doing. Who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, "Why did you make me like this?" will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay? And he absolutely does. He has the rights to our life. He is good. He is generous. He is kind. And he has outfitted us for ministry just as he wills. And we trust him for that. We give thanks to him for that. And we faithfully use the gift that he has wisely chosen to entrust to us. God, in his wisdom, has made us just the way he wants us to be. And in that same wisdom, he has given us the spiritual gift or gifts that he wants us to have. Gifts that are designed especially for us and for the context we find ourselves in. Spiritual gifts are a reason to give thanks to God for the multitudinous diversity of gifts to the body of Christ, that she might grow in maturity, grow in service to her Lord, and grow in gratitude for the giver of all good gifts. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these gifts. We thank you for the salvation you've secured that we might enjoy them. For without your work of redemption, we would never have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, enabling us, gifting us, empowering us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for your plan from all eternity past to generously give to us and keep on giving and giving and giving. Thank you. Spirit, thank you for your active operation in our midst. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.